Frank Barth.
Chris Lumley.
Linda Johnston.
Douglas Ward.
Okay, so Bob Mullet.
Ross Powell.
All right, and Jim is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Come on, you want to need help?
Yeah.
I'm getting there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And has everybody had a chance to read the minutes?
No.
Okay, take a couple of seconds.
Jim, man, it's all the fine print.
Meeting minutes from December 8th as presented.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Pass. Okay, property owner snow removal responsibilities. Oh, that was one.
Okay, similar
get
top.
Back on the right. Okay.
I was wondering where you were.
Snow removal.
Where's Vic?
We thought, since everyone has had fun with snow removal, and you no doubt all have your own thoughts and comments because of all of your own issues. And,
yep.
It was a tough couple weeks there for us, the first week mostly. But so we thought it was a chance for you guys to all air your beefs and ask your questions. I think, obviously, the thing that hit us was, and not in this order, because it's all of the above played a part, was, A, we went down to, we had one contractor, so in the past, someone else had already done, usually had done that half of town. So you had snowplow guys who had never, ever plowed the area, you know, and anyone will tell you, you get to where they know where to go and how to go. So you probably, then the snow came heavy. Number two, it was a heavy, wet snow, and you can speak to that. Yeah, they had one of your worst probably outages that you had in the history.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our customers were out of power at one time.
And that's all because of weight. And if you talk, I've talked to three or four snowplow people, and you know this, but you have to just say it, that there's a huge difference between a heavy wet snow
and a plow. Nice fluffy.
It can't plow, it goes half the speed, everything compounds. And that's why the power lines came down. So you had a new contractor, heavy snow, and it just kind of kept coming. And so those are all, and then some of our lack of 2 or 3 years of not much snow. I mean, that plays into it. The public wasn't as ready because they haven't had as much snow. You've had many people moved in that did not. I've had three or four call me that had only been here a year or two, which means they never had a snow. And so, not making excuses because we could have done better, should have done better, need to be better planned, need to adopt some ordinances that will help us, all of the above. And it was frustrating. It was the worst time since I've been here for my 5 years. You know, we've not had this. Right. And my phone rang and rang and rang and rang, and I had lots of people mad. You know, every story in the world, cussing, screaming. They came and saw Corey. They called him. They called me. You know, it was rather interesting. But we made it through it. So I think one of the things we're going to work on is some rules and regulations on. We need. One of the biggest problems was in Huntington Meadows and places like that. You know what I'm going to say. It's the same problem we have in the summer, only it compounds in the winter, and that's vehicles park all over where you're supposed to. The bioswales is where the snow's supposed to go. But everyone has over the years, but we haven't had bad snows for a while, so more and more cars are parked there. And I don't know if we were going to put pictures of that.
And non-working.
I don't have cars. Pictures of that. I want to show them the website, snow removal website page.
Okay.
Talk through that a little
bit. Well, go ahead
and
get out there.
When we get to that.
Sure. No, it's just, I'm just you kind of filling the time.
All right. Well, let me fill a little time.
Get it up there.
So, Ashley, can you pull it up? Thank you. So just to finish on the point that Rick had just brought up, the cars in the right-of-way, that was a major issue, especially when you run out of where to put the snow. And we saw a break in the weather, so actually a week and a half
ago. You want to turn the light down on that?
We put together a notice, and staff and myself went out, and we noticed all of Huntington Meadows. We put a flyer on every door, and we posted a notice, a tow notice, on all the cars in the right-of-way, letting them know that if the cars were not moved, that they would potentially be towed. And so we actually had a really good response with people moving, and it's interesting. You get half the people calling and complaining about the poor snow plowing services, and then you get people calling about the tow notices, and I think it just was a great opportunity also to have a dialogue with the community a little bit about what the city does, what the city doesn't do. So anyways, that'll be an ongoing thing with cars in the right-of-way. But one thing we did internally was we worked with you have ODOT that plows the highway, you have the county that plows Burgess and Huntington and many of the other arterial streets, and then you have the city that plows the collectors, some of the other collector streets, the local streets and cul-de-sacs. What we didn't have was, call it a strategy and a list of, these are the roads that if we have 2 feet of snow and our contracted services are overburdened, this is where they go first. This is what they focus on. And until that's finished, they don't move on to something else, cul-de-sacs and side streets. So we put together, and I don't expect you to read through this, but I would recommend if you have the opportunity to visit the city website. And we created a snow removal page that outlines really what the city does and what the city doesn't do. The city does not plow driveways. The city does not remove berms from driveways. Before the city existed, the county did not plow cul-de-sacs or side streets. So it's trying to educate a little bit in terms of what we do and what we don't do. And then also the priority one roads and the priority two roads. And I sat down with Vic, and we created a map that shows all the roads within the city that the county plows, that the priority one roads that the city plows, and the priority two roads that the city plows. And if you scroll to the bottom, Ashley, you can download these maps, really large format, and get a sense for what those are. The idea really was to create loops in various neighborhoods. So, you know, the county plows Burgess,
We said Schedule is a priority one road, Cagle is a priority one road, and then the county plows Huntington. That gives you a looped system so that the thought is that anyone can get to one of those roads and then be able to move to the highway. So this is our new approach. The thought is that priority one roads will be plowed within 24 hours. That's kind of the expectation. Call it 6 inches of snow triggers that, and then the contractors will make their effort to plow that within 24 hours. The priority two roads, if the priority one roads get done before that or within 48 hours. So we haven't really had another two feet of snow yet to kind of get a sense for this. Most of what we've been doing in the last few weeks is widening roads and trying to just play catch up a little bit. But this is our hope moving forward, to having a little better strategy and communicating with the contractor and making sure they're communicating with their crew these priorities, that it should be taken care of a little bit better. So
you did a good job on that. That was very nice and very easy to understand.
Good.
Yeah, I think, you know, we could see, like I say, it's something that probably should have been there. In the 5 years I've been here, we've just not had troubles.
Right.
And so, you know, you tend to take care of what comes up. And I think this is good. And Ashley and Corey and all the staff worked hard on this. We spent a lot of time talking about what to put coming up with the priorities and working with Vic and the county. We had the public works director down.
Chris Doty
was down. I mean, we wanted to do this right. There is, if you've been reading the bulletin, I mean, Ben's in trouble. You will never, that's just one of those areas you're always going to have complaints, snow plowing. It's just the nature of the beast. So we thought, well, people here don't know what should they get, what are we going to do, how are we going to do it, and try to do it. And so yeah. I think this is a start. Doesn't mean it's the end of the thing. But we would like to maybe adopt an ordinance that says, so that people know that when snow reaches above a certain depth, all vehicles need to be off the right-of-ways. And there are towns in snowy areas that do that. Because you can't, if you think about it, you have, everyone wants narrow streets now. Not that you do, but society and developers.
Right.
They want narrow streets because of cost. Well, that is a direct conflict with where do you put snow. And so once you put cars out there, even though they weren't supposed to park there ever, but the subdivisions have been designed to where that's the only place they can park. And in cases we had boats, we had snowmobile trailers, and cars aren't registered anymore. They sat there for a year, broke down, everything in between. So we worked our way through it. There's some mad people because they had to either go tow them away. We only towed two. We towed two vehicles. The rest got them out of there. But when they called me, I was really, really firm with, you know, basically I said it's kind of I called it a snow emergency. We're having a snow emergency. And I said we are going to plow the street. And the people that live beyond your vehicle may need an ambulance and might need a fire truck and may need UPS. And they're damn well going to get it. And your car is not going to be the blockade. It is being towed. So what do you want to do about it? And they all got them out. The boat's gone. I had a long talk with the boat owner.
And on a side note to that, the two cars that were towed, when I talked to the owners of the vehicles, they both admitted that the cars didn't run and they'd been sitting there for several months. So you saw, you know, there was a separate issue kind of there at play as well.
So we'd like to just come up with an ordinance, and we'll get some ideas of other places that do that. But, you know, that says, you know, at 6 inches, all right-of-ways need to be cleared of vehicles for plowing. And that's just what you have to do. When you see it snowing, you need to get each car up in the driveways, or if you know the start of winter, you know, my boat just isn't going to be able to be there. So.
Well, one of the other things I noticed on the Kangaroo area is we had two or three people who didn't want to do their driveways that night, so they just left their cars on the street.
Yes.
I come from the Northeast. You have a car in the street, it's gone. Period. There's no warning, there's no, gee, mister, will you please move your car? They tow it. Or they dump the snow on top of it, which is even more fun. Well, if you look at the pictures of Boston during the snowstorms, they will have 10-foot of snow on top of cars that are parked on the street. That's the way it happens.
Yep.
You leave a car on the street, you can expect it to get covered or towed, one or the other. And when you say snow emergency, you get on the radio, you say this is a snow emergency, please remove your cars from right-of-ways or they will be towed or buried.
Yep.
And that's it. And you'll get people who complain. So what? I'm sorry, you know, you've got to get emergency vehicles through. The streets need to be plowed. Yeah.
I've been gone for, or out of the state for the last 6 months. So I'm still in the mode of catching up. This is excellent. I'm glad to see that all explained and laid out. That should answer a myriad of questions. But what have we done to notify the public this is on, or this is available for them to pull up? Is there newspaper ads or anything that...
We haven't reached out to the public to let them know that this is available, but we got this up on the website probably about 2.5-3 weeks ago, and any time we're getting calls or complaints, we were always educating them over the phone, but now we have the opportunity.
I think what we ought to do is buy an ad in Newberry. We can take some of the bullet points of that and then refer them to our website. You know, to be honest, when the Newberry was more
regular.
Yes. And we used to actually have newspaper stories, and there was a reporter at our meetings, and all of that changed, you know, back about a year ago. And so when something that comes out like maybe once a month or something, it's real hard to, but I think we could go ahead, these guys want to sell ads, we could go buy an ad in there and actually put it also in the
I'll put it in the other tube too.
Yeah, we can come up and add, and therefore people know. So yes, it was unfortunate to a degree. You know, we put notices on the cars we towed, and we're going to make some stickers up that are red lights. ODOT has state police on the highway. Corey got some from another city he's found about towing, so we can go sticker them. And we tried to give them 24 hours. Now in Huntington Meadows, we actually told them on New Year's Eve.
That Thursday,
that we were, they needed them out by Monday. They had 3.5 days.
And we actually ended up towing a little later than that, so they had closer to 5 to 7 days of...
We snuck in right between snowstorms, so we've been kind of up to our ears. We've been in the South, where that's a four-letter word they don't know. And it, you know, so we've had a lot of catching up to do, home maintenance and that sort of thing, to, you know, welcome back the the home. Yeah, I love this. You know, where I spent 6 months, it was in excess of 100 degrees and 90%+ humidity. So this is wonderful to me. I don't have a problem. But I know I have neighbors that ask questions, and this is wonderful if we can get that out to them.
One of the things Vic admitted that where their guy, he was trying to think of us and the taxpayer, which is great. He and Cagle, the guy that was supposed to start there, you know, it hit the 6 inches or whatever, and it's still snowing. And he
waited, yeah.
He said to himself, gosh, if I go plow it, I'm just going to have to plow it again in a few hours, and it's going to cost twice as much. So he waited. New driver, new area, that won't happen. You know, he just, and then it was so heavy and wet, it was too deep, you know.
Yeah.
So we ended up having, you saw the county, we had the county work with us on the streets, and they came down, and because when they got done with their stuff, then they have extra capacity, so they came down and helped us. And they wanted to. We had two graders and a loader. We ultimately went around, and if you saw, we cleaned out the berms for people when we did this last plowing, kind of a cleanup.
And really helped.
Yeah, that was well after the fact. Now, that's not something we're going to normally do. You know, that just was because when you're going to go in and when we were widening the roads back, because you're going to shove back, the berms become much bigger, and at that point they're ice balls.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's even the snow blowers don't get through it.
Right. Nope.
So
it made it really tough to keep sidewalks clear when
there were no sidewalks clear.
Yeah, people were out walking in the street all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was absolutely nothing to do about that.
Right.
That means that it's, you know, we'll have an ordinance that will address that, but yeah. When you have this much snow, it would be impossible because if you notice all the businesses, they plow their snow to the corners. And then, I mean, literally, it's a mound this big.
Yes.
You can't run a snowblower down the street. It would just be, it's going to be a long educational process.
Well, when those berms get up, and all along William Foss, down the street where you have the little houses, that snow's going clear over almost to the front porches of those cottages. How is anybody, I mean, I like to shovel snow. But I can't do the 4-foot ice berms.
No, you have to hire someone. And basically, and the outreach, Wayne, is an excellent point. One thing that we did put on the bottom of the website is a list of snow plow removal services throughout the city. And we'll refer people there to say, hey, you know, if your family or your neighbors can't help you, here's some local, you know, small operations that could come maybe plow out you and your neighbor's berm and driveway or something like that.
So we have two of them on there.
Yeah.
They're licensed.
Yeah.
You know, we work with
good.
A
new business license. New business licenses.
As I said, the other thing, we do have a radio station now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll mention this.
Use that.
I'm scheduled to be on there again, I think, the morning of February 3rd. So I'll make sure to mention this.
But we could make a public service announcement whenever you have the big snows coming.
Oh. Yep, that's actually a good point. That's why we have you guys here. Yeah. When I'm on the radio, I still record that. I always wonder, I guess it's me and the people in the chamber listening. I always wonder if there's anyone else out there listening. They're all having fun. I'm just not sure. How many of you listen to that every morning? Yeah. The people that are on it, I think, like to listen.
Well, I wish they'd listen to themselves because they cut out for about 5 seconds continuously.
On the thing?
Yeah. No. I mean, you'll have music going and all of a sudden cuts.
Is it here in town?
You have dead air for about 5 seconds and it'll come back.
Yeah. Well, that's it. If there's nothing else, we'll do better. And I think Nick will do better. He's looking at buying some new equipment. He was going to look at a snowblower. I don't know if he bought it. A big snow.
All the way to Dakota.
Yeah, and then we may get we were going to get a little plow on one, or get a pickup truck that we put a plow on, and we can go clean things up a little bit. We went and did a couple mail. I mean, this was fine though. At first, it starts out mailboxes. Besides the plowing and the berms, then it's what about our mailboxes? And then it went to school bus stops. I mean, I drew the line there. So we are not going around. We don't know where school bus stops are. And we're not even going to start. I mean, you better stand there with your kid and help them on the bus, because then they're going to say you didn't plow it right. It was dangerous where you put it. I mean, the kid got run over. Or not. You know, you better take care of your kid in bus stops. So it is a never-ending, interesting. I had the honor call. The lady from the valley called me in. I don't know if you guys went over and talked somewhere out on one road. You went out and checked on some older lady.
Bonnie.
Yeah, some lady from Eugene or Salem had called and said that her mom absolutely didn't need anything, except mentally she was sure she needed something. And she didn't have a car that was going anywhere, but she was afraid that no one else could get to her house. And, you know, I sent the guys over, and then the lady called me back and said, you know, my mom called, she was crying. She said, couldn't believe these people came over to her place, checked on her. So, you know, no, it's not things we advertise, we're not doing, but, you know, you try to do what you can. And she said, you know, in the future, we're going to get someone to come plow her driveway.
That's a good point, though, because our next door neighbor is 93, 94 years old. By yourself. So, you know, the main thing is trying to get the ambulances in there.
Right.
Right. And that's all over town.
That's all over town.
Yeah.
But, and that's unfortunately on one of those dead end streets on Kegel's the last priority. But, you know, it's something to keep in mind when, oh, we don't have to worry about them.
Correct. Okay, that's.
All right, what about the draft for the sidewalk ordinance? Is this with snow?
Because that should have been in the GAC.
There's a copy in their packet.
Well, yeah, snow actually not in that one because this was drafted prior to the snow event. If the two areas that it covers mostly are kind of the maintenance of the sidewalk. What this is really, the reason we're getting this done is it's the businesses with all our new streetscapes. The businesses need to take care of the grass and things in front of their business. And before we do this whole west side, we wanted to have an ordinance in place to make sure people understand that. When you see streetscapes in cities, you know, you probably have never really thought about who takes care of them. And actually, each business mows and waters, it depending on the system, but they water in Madras, Les Schwab. I represented the bank on a lot in Les Schwab, and we had to share the water bill. And, you know, it's just something we did. And then Les Schwab went ahead and hired the mowing. But it's in the right of way. But it all makes their business look nice. Bend does not have a city employee running around all over Bend mowing in front of every business. Now, if you're in the Mill District, that's all private. And they do it as part of their dues that they charge, but the city of Bend isn't doing it. And so that's normal. And so we wanted to have the ordinance so that people know if you have like the Taco Bell down there, when that grass is in front of them, it's really up to Taco Bell to go mow. If they don't and we mow, we then have the right to charge them back our costs for mowing. And, you know, it works fine. You occasionally find someone that doesn't do it very well, or you'll kind of, you know, maybe they want to go 2 weeks, but that's kind of how it's done. Now, in the case out there, the current claim, the water is on our system, and electricity, of course, is on our system, so it'll be watered by us. It'll take a little getting used to. We've explained that to the people when we've met on this west side when that gets in. So, and a couple of them have grumbled about it, but, you know, if a tree needs pruned, you know, we may do a contract, or they just go down and prune all the trees. So it's really the weekly mowing is the issue that is how that gets. So this kind of, that you have that there, and goes on for pages, but it talks about your responsibility to keep it clean. And I believe it also goes into some of the things that, Doug, you've complained about a little bit, I think, about weeding and some of those things, about a lot that's more than an acre in size. So if you haven't read it yet, you should sit around at night and read that. We haven't went to council yet. We're just working on that. And so if you guys read it, have any questions, feedback.
Yeah. And getting that place, even before the paving and west side of 97, streetscape improvements, because we will be doing quite a bit of landscaping up that first street in April and May. So getting it in place before.
Yeah. And it does talk about snow removal, bars, the sidewalks. So it'll be a change for some people. I mean, a lot of people kind of expect it and know it, and they know they're supposed to plow their sidewalks and all of that, but we didn't have an ordinance that you could actually point to. So that will probably come back again. We're going to talk to the council about it a little and see what they think, and it'll work around for another couple. It'll be a couple 3 months probably in our system here while we get that ready.
And that only pertains to the business part, right? We're not talking about a subdivision.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically, you won't, just like you had people here complaining that if the sidewalk gets damaged, you know, they have to.
Oh, yes.
So, no, the sidewalks are your responsibility everywhere in the city, and if you have a parking strip type where a lot of them have the 2 foot, you go to cities where they have the 2 foot grass area with a row of trees, mm-hmm, in subdivisions, unless it's part of an HOA that does it. each owner mows that. You've had them in front of your houses. I've had them, you know. And if you don't have a sprinkling system, they tend to turn brown because nobody waters them out there. But you know, they are part. They are your responsibility. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of what I would call separated sidewalk type landscaping. The bioswales here, I guess, would be the closest. This isn't a curbed community. It's usually, you know, you have the curb, you have a 2-foot grass strip, then you have a sidewalk. But other than the commercial zone, you don't have that anymore.
Spent 19 years in Multnomah County, so I'm well aware of that.
Yeah, and the county didn't go mow those.
No.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, I had one in front of my house, and the only thing you couldn't touch was the tree.
Yeah.
You couldn't prune it, you couldn't do anything. But if it was lifting up the sidewalk, then you can complain to the city. The city would take the tree out and repair the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But other than that, you couldn't do anything. You had to water it the whole bit.
Right.
We had to buy our own trees.
Yeah. We had to pay for our own trees down in Forest Grove. If they got damaged, we had to pay for it.
Oh,
we couldn't do anything with them, but we had to pay for that one. They only have certain kinds.
And then some of them would plant trees that had no business being there at all. They should not have planted that type of tree. It was making a mess of everything.
Yeah.
If you weren't so old and grumpy, it wouldn't have been a problem.
He was much younger and better looking.
Younger I can go with, but this.
I don't think either one of you two have ever been young.
Okay, moving on.
Kind of reminds me of the better in a way, but.
Okay, update on First Street and Highway 97.
Can I get some of these out?
Yes, please do. That'd be great.
Let me go to the top for
you. Yeah, you can scroll to the
top. Oh, you got it.
Right. I put the.
Oh, great.
Those pictures up there. They can look at the plans. And then we can talk to you a little bit. So these are updated landscaping plans.
Thank you.
For the First Street 97 intersection and then heading down First Street to all the way to Huntington, I believe.
You might not have all of them.
No, this
is giving me an idea.
Yeah, these are the complete plans. There's 25 pages.
Deborah?
So,
we're so,
timeline. Yeah, Eric.
So the idea is to come in after ODOT has finished the project as they have, finished up their punch list items, and then come back through and put the landscaping improvements on. This plan has a variety of symbols on it, and each of those symbols represents a different species, which I've got hard copies of these too that I can pass out to you so you can see those. But this project would include installing some irrigation. It would include installing some final electrical improvements so that there's a tree or receptacle at each tree so that the city can come back and then plug in Christmas lights or whatever needs to be plugged in there. And that would be on the city circuit, same as the street lights. And then of course the landscaping itself, which is intended to be, there's some color in it, so there's some so it'll look good visually, but it's intended to be low maintenance, so it doesn't put a burden on the city to have a lot of maintenance.
And we're talking quite a bit of landscaping. This quote that you provided, Eric, he says 53 trees at 2.5-inch caliper.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, let me pass out some other documents here.
233 shrubs, 2-gallon potted shrubs.
We've been zeroing in on the cost estimate for this. And we had been working with ODOT to possibly include this in the work that they were doing last summer, and the cost came in very high as a change order with about $160,000 So this would be a significant decrease in cost.
So ODOT, under the ODOT pricing with their bids, if we'd done it with them, it was going to be $160.
Are we buying any of these locally?
We'll have to hire a contractor, and then it's up to them. That you can't force someone.
Sorry.
It's real hard to force them to, because they have to guarantee them for 2 years, and they have
the
suppliers.
Okay.
Now, we used the lady that came down and did it. She talked to
Ellen.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
For species and used her list, stuff like that.
Okay.
So you could see, depends on the last person that bid it was in the valley. You know, they're gonna probably truck over their stuff.
Yes, they are. We're just gonna die.
Right.
And
you gotta.
So we're wanting to bend on, you know, somewhere that would these kind of there's no probably, I'll say, I don't know, in Lapine that's taking on $110,000 landscaping project. It's just above what their comfort zone for pricing and bidding, but they can. I mean, we put it out. We follow law, so it goes out for a bid, and you know, it's a whole process. And
we're going to be bidding it in the next.
We could have it up for bid, hopefully in the next week or so.
Yeah.
I think there definitely will be companies in Central Oregon that will be bidding this project, and they'll be able to get it installed prior to Memorial Day. Before that, so
I just caught like
under that prevailing wage.
It's required. It's only prevailing wages are required for the public works city project. So it'll go out to bid, and the city essentially has to give it to the low bidder. So we can have a qualification process, but state law says the lowest qualified bidder is the one that's awarded the project. So. There's not a lot of subjectivity to it. It's just straight qualified.
A lot of small operators don't want to get into BOLI. They don't want to get into reporting and any of that. They just say, hey, it's not what I do.
Is there any way on these specs that whoever gets it will check for trees and whatever that grows in Lapine? Because there's a big difference between Lapine and even Sun River and Bend and Redmond.
Uh-huh.
A lot of those things are in microclimates, and they'll be dead in a year or two, and then we've got to put up with that.
Well, there's a couple of things. So they'll be required to submit their tree species list and where they're getting them so that they can be reviewed and checked off.
Okay.
Also, with this, typically we're still discussing this, and it costs more to add more time onto it, but you can. What ODOT does is they have a 3-year warranty. So any plant material that dies in a 3-year period is replaced by that contractor. So they're on the hook for quite a while to make sure that those, all the vegetation remains alive.
And the landscape architecture we worked with is from Central Oregon and
Sisters.
From Sisters in particular, and aware of
The different
mm-hmm. varying climates, and she's in tune with the different species of plants and,
okay.
and their levels of stress they can endure and such. Did you print copies of that as well?
Of these?
Yeah. Pass that out. Thank you. I didn't know if you were going to print those. So this is the same thing that's on the screen, but Eric was thoughtful and printed off.
He's a good guy.
These are the species that are indicated on the plan there.
Oh, good.
It's a lot of plants.
I've got a question. The two drainage holes, whatever you want to call them, that are on each side of 97, are they going to be just dirt, or are they going to have grass, or what?
What ODOT has in their plan is some seeding. They were seeded, so there should be some grasses in there. Just and the reason they do that is just to firm it up so it doesn't slip off, so it doesn't erode into the bottom.
Well, what'd they spray in those in there?
It's they call it hydro seed. It's a mulch with seeds in it, and then eventually it'll sprout, and then those roots are intended to hold that dirt firm. So that's what ODOT typically does. On this plan, there are some trees located in there, primarily those spruce trees.
It'll be we're landscaping around the edge, so the water can go sit in the bottom, but the edge will be, you know, it'll just kind of be decorative like a forest, and we're using various kinds of trees. And then one thing about it, if we decide it's ugly a year or two from now, we gotta go throw in some plants in that. We haven't had any of those, so you know, we'll see what this looks like in a given time.
Can I ask a question about why are you specking out tray cable?
That was something that we talked with Tomco Electric about, and that's in there so that it can be direct buried. So it'll come out of the junction boxes, which are located in the sidewalk, and then that can then extend. I think we've got about 3 trees connected to receptacles off of each junction box.
And that'll all be direct buried wire?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we have, there'll be a plug-in in each tree, so we can put white lights on at Christmas and stuff.
If you have any thoughts on that, I'd love to.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's 27.
It just seemed kind of odd, because usually we run everything in conduit, so.
Yeah. We had originally done that, and then we, through working with ODOT, they suggested, since it's in a swale, that would be acceptable to ODOT, so.
Yeah, so basically you're going to have a junction box, and it's going to go to a tree and go to a tree, so.
It won't be an issue now, but 30, 40 years from now, it'll start failing. And
yeah.
You're right. In 30 or 40 years, there'll probably be different junction boxes. The receptacle boxes will have broke.
Whereas if you have conduit, then you can always pull them in and you don't have to dig back up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. We conduit everything. This is actually, this. I mean, if you get into landscaping, a lot of times you find big, they'll run a wire. This is an accepted practice. So. But you electric guys, you got lots of money, and
long term it's cheaper. Short term it isn't.
Probably.
So.
Yeah.
Anybody looking at fiber optics for lighting?
I've not looked at fiber optics. I know there are some fiber optics there in the intersection for ODOT, but we have not.
I wouldn't think that'd be very economical.
So, this is we'll get the bids out. So we'll probably in a month. We should hopefully a month or so we'll have the bids back. And as soon as it gets nice enough, we're gonna put a May 20th date or something. So you got a week before Memorial Day. It has to be done so that when the tourists come to town for Memorial Day, it's in and out of the way. You don't want on Friday of Memorial Day, them out there bark dusting and blocking the lane of traffic. So I think it'll look pretty good. We did save some money by waiting, and that's, well, if it meets his estimate, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Eric. Good job. All right, expiration of terms for committee members and selection of chair and vice chair.
Sorry, I was arguing in my head. Okay, so Doug, Wayne, and Arlo are all up for reappointment.
What?
Up for reappointment.
2016.
Through 2017. You gonna do it again, Doug?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wayne?
Yeah.
I'll call Arlo and find out what he wants to do. And I think we'll put that as an agenda item tomorrow, that way the council can actually officially appoint him. You guys could make a motion to recommend that the council reappoint the two of you.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Approved.
Thanks. Now you gotta renominate your chair and your vice chair.
I move that we keep them the same.
Second.
Third.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? What?
We should have had a discussion with us.
Oh, we'll have a discussion. I'm just cutting to the chase here. Okay. Oh, no, we could. Let's have a discussion.
Well, I think we ought to keep the same. That's good.
Good discussion.
Well, I got in trouble, so
we do try to rotate our chairmen. I know that it's uncomfortable for anyone sitting there to ever say it, so that's my job. Is the boards do the railroad and what you just did, and then there's always the laughter. But in seriousness, I always recommend that you do. If it's a couple years is fine, but you don't want to get caught up in that. Everyone sitting here should get their turn chairing. And that's just, everyone learns, and if you learn to run a meeting, you learn all kinds of things. So it is, so it's not about if I don't care who's sitting there, it has nothing to do with who's sitting there. It's why that's the best way. Now, have you been chair? Is this your first year?
Yes.
So if you wanted to go another year, that'd be fine, but then knowing that next year there really has to be someone else.
Okay.
And you want to kind of rotate those things up. You were chair, you know.
Before then.
I guess it was probably just you and then
you.
So, yeah, we're still okay if it's just, you know, a couple years is fine, but don't get caught up in.
But, and then maybe next year, since it's always been Tom or me or whatever, then maybe next year we should consider just revamping it and letting some other people on.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's other people on the board. That
right.
Can, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No problem.
Sounds good to me.
Jim spends a lot of time in the chairs. I nominate him for next year.
Good.
Don't listen to this guy.
We'll get this stuff done early.
So good to be back.
Yep.
Thank you.
How about other issues and concerns?
I'm still waiting for my check from the realty company.
That's a private issue. We'll bring Marcy down by.
Yeah. I don't have any other concerns. I just hope that the snow here goes away, goes on, gets a little rest. You know, my patio had so much snow on it, it caved in. It just went like that. You know, it was just a pile of 2x and 2x6s covered in snow.
We went by and looked at your place.
Did you? What did you see?
There's snow just cleared up.
Well, one thing you see in the snow, you see a lot of things people don't want you to see because it stands out. You can actually see lots of clutter in the snow because it. That the way it does things, so we get a different view of things. We know where we see a camp trailer and there were no footsteps in 3 feet of snow, so we know no one is currently living in it. We could tell where people would tell us that they aren't living in it, and then, you know, it's got a snow cloud thing up to the front of it and the snow's melted off the roof. You know, yeah, it tells you a lot of things you don't get in the rest of the season.
It's very good information. I think I'll pay more attention when I'm doing my drive-bys.
Yeah, no, it does, actually.
Good.
It kind of...
Yeah. Well, you didn't find anything around my place that you objected to, did you?
No, it seemed like, didn't you have a couple cars that didn't look like they had moved? A
couple of cars of what?
Maybe had moved.
Only had two.
Well, did you use both of them?
Well, yeah.
No. But we thought maybe it was your house. It was over where you complain a lot, and I was quite sure it was your house.
I didn't think he lived on Railroad.
We do have all the lights up on Railroad. They had a couple
That's
more.
Good.
Looks looks.
We appreciate that.
I think you were looking at the wrong place.
You know what we might have, because I told him, I said, I think that's Doug's. It was on Pine, the long street of Pine there.
Towards the end.
And you know that house that's got the wood in the front that you don't like?
The four, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
You're on this side of it, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm north of that two lots.
Okay, yeah. We were on the south side of that.
You know, that guy's never going to clean that mess up.
No, I know.
I've talked to him. He lives down in California somewhere. I've talked to him three times. And he's had three different excuses to why all that wood's still there. He's never going to clean that up.
Yeah.
And, of course, the fire department won't force him to clean it up.
No, I didn't get a call yesterday. I guess I don't know, the same one that talked to Corey. We need to get a person looking at buying a bunch of lots at Huntington Meadows, and since it's the streets that there's no one on them and everything, and I don't know if he called you.
Yeah, I talked to him for quite a while.
Okay. Is everything good for sewer and water in there?
Yeah.
Okay. I was talking to him about the bioswales and what we want to do since it's not developed on that street, and they're there, but I said, you know, we're talking about different treatments, like maybe he goes in, digs them down a little, and then puts a certain kind of drain rock in each one so they're all the same, and then therefore they will drain. We even talked about maybe putting brick pavers in them to where cars should park on them, then the water soaks through them. Some things like that. He's going to try to elevate kind of this, since he's got a whole street and a half there, and kind of make that look different.
Is that Gisler?
No.
And
this is the last street that doesn't have any houses.
Power. No power either.
You no
guys
power.
Because he told me he's talked to you guys about pulling power. Just kind of try to elevate kind of as the, because you can come in off Huntington straight into there. You don't have to wind through the rest of the subdivision.
It's nice.
And you can kind of, I really spent a lot of time with him trying to say, let's start this one out correctly. We talked about maybe a lot for off-street parking. You know, that he's, when he designs them, shove the houses back another 5 or 10 feet so when you can park a pickup in the driveway, it doesn't stick over the sidewalk. I went through the whole list of it because there's no houses. So he can do some of that. And he said, I just did a subdivision in Bend, and he says, I know exactly what you're talking about. And he was laughing over when I was going down my list, my pet list of garages that aren't deep enough, wide enough. And he says, I know exactly what you're saying.
Good.
And so I think he wants to do it right. And like on the lots on the south end, because they go back to the forest or somebody, private property, whatever, they're deeper anyway. So he can actually shove the house back a few feet. And he's very aware of the visual part. And he says, you know, if we make two bigger garages and you only have 50, the lots are already platted, they're 53 feet, I think they're 53 feet wide, you know. Pretty soon all you look like is a row of garages.
Right.
And I said, no, that's ugly. And he says, yeah, it's very ugly. And you don't want that. Because if you get a 50-foot, the problem is if you get a 50-foot lot and you have to have five, what's the side setbacks? Is it 5 or 10?
It's 10.
So, okay, so now it gives me 30 feet. And my garage, my two-car garage needs to be 20.
Yeah.
All you see when you're down the street is garages. And that's why in Crescent Creek and these places with alleys, when you get narrow lots, you almost need an alley. So the garages are in the back to where your house sits out front. But that's already platted, and you know, he can't do that. So, anyway.
That can't be amended for site setbacks? Or
You wouldn't have enough width to put an alley in the back.
No, but as far as
the 10-foot setback, side setbacks on either side, is that?
Are you saying they can be less?
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, I was wondering, is it 5 or 10? But
it's 10. The ordinance says 10.
So if we get him to do some of these other things, we could say, okay, we'll let you have an 8-foot or a 7-foot to you know, so that you can make your house wider. And then maybe you put a fence down, but maybe you put some trees. You just put a row of two or three bushes or trees. So where when I'm standing in my kitchen, I'm not almost touching my neighbor.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you can do some things, but, you know, these people that come in during the booms, they tend to want to throw the stuff up for maximum profitability.
And walk away.
And walk away. In the price ranges, he was saying would be about $180,000.
That's what they're going for now.
Yeah. So.
That one that's at the very end of, what is it, Betty or Bassett?
Yes.
Is $192.5.
And have you anyone looked at that? Yeah, it's probably a little high. But
of those went up between $5,000 and $8,000 in value for resales in just like 2 months.
Yeah.
We have no inventory.
So. It's kind of exciting to have someone want to do some houses, but so you know, we're trying to think ahead on these subdivisions so we at least
good. So we don't have future issues.
Yes.
I have a concern. I don't know if now's the proper time. I want to talk about the Cagle subdivision and how many more years do we have to get that plan to DEQ for the sewer and start implementing? Is it 3?
Well, there's no.
I thought we had a drop dead date. We had to have plans to them.
No.
I thought we promised.
They know we're working on trying to put together a package, and we'll be having a one-stop where we bring all the state and federal agencies together.
Okay, then we had talked at the time when it's time to do that, we had only talked, and we hadn't made any recommendations, but that they'd run the water and the sewer pipes down the streets at the same time. Mm-hmm. The problem I'm coming up to is that there are several wells that are going dry in the Cagle subdivision. One of them was one we just had for sale, and it didn't pass the flow test. Went from, start out 15 gallons per minute a few years ago, it's down to 3.5. And that's not the only one. Apparently they're putting new wells, drilling a new well on Antler Doe, and now they'll have to do it at our property if we can't find another solution that's a little less expensive. So I wondered if, you know.
Well, what our timeline is, so we're going to have a meeting out. What's the date?
I was going to bring it up during staff general comments, but I'll share it now. We have for Tuesday, February 23rd, the library at Roslyn Elementary reserved for an hour and a half from, call it, the meeting, the open house will be from 5:30 to 7 on the water and wastewater expansion. We'll have Anderson Perry there. They are the engineering firm that did our water and wastewater master plan updates. We'll have maps, we'll have charts, we'll have a few different stations. People can drop in for 5 minutes or half an hour, ask questions, talk through it a little bit. I'll make sure that the Public Works Committee gets an email, so you'll get reminders of that.
Are those wells shallow?
February
23rd. They're all 39 feet.
39 feet shallow well.
Yeah.
Downward. And a lot of it has to do with the drop. You don't have the water going into the ground. Where I live off of Masson, we had 6 people have to do new wells because of that.
And
we're not getting the flow.
Too.
I did mine 2 years ago because of that. I couldn't turn on 2 faucets at the same time.
Right.
So I had to go down 72 feet. And I got more water to know what to do with now. And that's what all these other people have to do.
Some of those wells, again, are only 20 foot deep.
Yeah, 22 foot was mine. And some of them were a little bit
22 foot. Between
22 and 30 foot, depending on where they hit.
Do wells get bad after a while?
One of the problems in Cagle is that we have a terrible amount of black sand in the water.
Yeah.
And iron.
And they tell me that sand is like down in the hole where your well is like hanging there, and sometimes it caves in and falls into water, and then your pump is choked up with sand and it won't pump any water or minimal flow, and then what I had to do last summer was pull it out because we had to put a new pump on it because the sand just ate it for lunch. And then pump the sand out of the well, which took about 3 days of constant running, and I got all the sand out of mine. But we had to bring up, my well was at 39, the pump was at 37, we brought the pump up to 33 because that sand accumulation was building from the bottoms. so we had to get up above it.
Okay.
And that solved my problem with low flow.
One of the problems with a lot of these wells, and I had the same thing, when they put the seepage pipe or whatever they call that pipe down the bottom, they fill the bottom with gravel. And what happens is the sand seeps, works its way through the gravel and you start pumping it. When I had the new well done, when he put that pipe down, he put a cap on the end. And that takes care of it. I don't get sand. None.
Yeah, well, you must have had holes in 2 years.
TC, once.
Yeah, that's the way he does it.
The old guy. Yeah, the old guy.
That's the way he does it.
And that's the way to do it. If you're going to put a new well in, have him cap the end of it.
You know, Palmer's done all the, or not Palmer,
Mark Pearl.
Pearl, he's done all the wells in Canada.
Right.
And he doesn't believe in those. He believes in having a regular pump down there. He doesn't believe in the way you had yours done.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Because after a while, that sand is so fine.
Yeah,
it just comes right up through it.
It did.
And, you know, my well has been functioning fine for 20 years.
Mm. Mine was done in 92, and so 13 years.
Yeah.
Well, this well was
if you got proper wells now, I think that's on your own though. You aren't going to have to wait to put in city water.
Well, we'll be, before there's an actual water pipe, you're talking 3 years.
Yeah.
And then you don't know if you're going to hook it up.
Oh, they do too.
Oh, we will?
Yeah. We're not running pipes down the road and have no one hooking up.
No, but I mean, you'll do the water and sewer at the same time? You'll turn the water on at the same time?
Oh, yeah, it'll be one project.
Yeah. Oh, good. I like this.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to.
We're going to do it next week? Next month?
You're not getting it to your property.
This is the sale
fail. Didn't we agree to a 5-year?
I thought we did.
I thought it was 3.
Well, we sat here with Dave. We had a 5-year process a year ago, but because we're 1 year to do the master plan. Now we're in the financing year. Then after we get the financing, each year the council will decide if they want to move forward. So we're going to move into financing, find out how many grants, loans, whatever that comes up. Then there'll be a drop-off point again for the council to say, let's move forward based on these costs. Then you're going to go do the engineering and bidding for a year, because that's what out there surveying all over and it's very technical. And then you will do a year or so to construct. Probably a year and a half, Scott, to bid and construct, or a year.
That's a big project.
Yes,
it's going to be a big project. That could be a 2-year.
And they're all happy. DEQ's happy. They know we're working on it.
Well, they know we're working on it. We're not asking them if they're happy.
Oh.
Never ask them if they're happy.
They're never happy with anything.
So we're probably looking 5 years until people would have water and sewer out there, maybe.
I would say hopefully less than 5, but
that's a concern.
But I mean, worst case, I would say 5. I mean, I think once we're going to move forward, we're going to move forward. So it's just a matter of getting it
right.
We're not going to sit around because we're eligible. Interest rates are favorable. I mean, we're not going to.
Yeah, we know we're eligible for a lot of grants, but if those don't line up, then the burden on the existing ratepayers.
What is the city's position on a customer who says no?
Well, they'll have
not going to do it.
They have to hook up to water.
And so whether they like it or not.
First of all, the DEQ rule, if there is a sewer line within 300 feet, I think, Scott, something like that, you have to, by state law, hook onto the sewer. You don't get to say, I'm not doing that. And we will require you hook up for water. So we will allow wells for their outside gardens and all those things.
Well,
some don't. Some, I mean, they don't. You get rid of wells and things, but you have bigger lots here, and so we're fine with that. We have absolutely no problem with it. But if you're domestic drinking, you will be hooking up. It's not going to be voluntary when this gets built, because this the problem is if you have half the people say I'm not hooking up, then the other half have to pay twice.
Double. Yeah, double.
It just won't work.
What kind of chemicals go into the city water?
None.
Zero.
None.
That's just
it's wonderful.
Right.
And it's an artesian well. There's not any iron.
There's good water. Really good water.
It is.
So I won't be losing quality then.
No.
Nope.
Because I've got a great well. Now the water's almost sweet.
So it's all the nitrates you're getting.
That could be it.
That's the taste of the nitrate.
Sweet nitrate.
That's what grows the hair.
I got
to get to both of you guys.
Man, oh man.
You know, when we do those roads too, or when they tear them up, that's a chance for us to kind of improve the roads.
Yeah, at
so
the same time.
I've been saving some money for Kegel and everything, but I can't see us going in and repairing one of those roads if a year or two later we know we're going to tear them up.
Right.
So, you know, in this project, we'll be able to, you know, get some money out of that to kind of get those roads where we want them a little bit, base
right.
them a little better. Because, Scott, when they do sewer and water, is it two different ditches?
Yeah, they have to be 10 feet apart at
yeah.
least. Sewer generally goes down the middle of the road. The water, we have a lot of room in the side opposite the power lines where we had Mike Shields go through a few years ago and clear all the brush.
Right.
We could put the water over there, and then when that got regraded, it kind of automatically widened the road 4 or 5 feet.
Do you think they will go down the middle for the water too, or do you think they put it off the edge?
I would think it'd go off to the edge.
What was the line they ran out to the elementary school? Was that just sewer?
There's water and sewer out to there.
And now you're going to have to put a different... Yeah, what I heard is that wasn't sufficient to take care of the residents.
Yeah, that sewer line that comes from Roslyn Elementary up to the pump station at Wickiup Junction is private. That belongs to the school district. And it's
okay,
just,
and then they just pay for whatever goes into it.
Right. Yeah, that wasn't a sewer line extension. That was just their
that was
their service project. So.
Okay.
But the water that they put in came from in front of Crescent Creek, went up Huntington to Burgess, and then down Burgess looped that. Imagine up 97 in Burgess and Huntington.
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to go out east of Roslyn, probably in this project. We will add a 500,000 gallon, some size reservoir, and actually a pump. So we will then come in, so back behind Gordy's back there somewhere, we will have a new well. So you're going to have a well off here, and you'll have a well there.
Good.
And then this will all be looped, and we can serve water from two directions.
Right.
That's our master plan, which is now just completed, says, and that way we can serve Kegel and all those areas, but also you're going to improve the fire flows. We're having a little fire flow problem
right.
out of Wiki if it's not quite high enough to meet fire code. It's not for drinking, it just needs to be more volume.
Yeah.
And so
okay.
it is hard when you're shoving it all from this end of town.
Right.
And you won't have the problem if it gets
you're going to have
busted
to cross
again.
97 and the railroad tracks
sure.
in order to get through there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, just
yeah.
by mention it.
Go ahead. I mean, they're doing it right now out there. They went underneath it. They did we sleep
no, that
somewhere?
Was already under. It's just extending over 70 feet, 40 feet or something.
Yeah,
that's where
it under it.
So that's got the more size that you can push more capacity through it.
Yeah.
When the reservoir will go in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did that go under the railroad tracks?
That was already under the track.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. That was my concern, considering we're going to redo that whole Wickiup out there, and then we don't want to tear it up and put in new water.
Right. I think the other crossing in that master plan project calls for a crossing of the tracks in the highway on Kegel. Kegel Road, it's if you just shot straight across from there.
So you kind of hook up a drafter back there, kind
yeah.
of?
Yeah.
So everything then becomes a loop.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why this project is a $8-10-12 million project.
Oh.
You got $1.5 million in the pump, water tank, and all of that, you know.
So I was also thinking if you pave a 2-lane road down Evergreen, then all those people that don't have the right you know, locations of their property would have to adjust accordingly. See, so if you paved a nice road right on out through there, that we'd have to get engineer on things to...
That's a real nice triangle.
Yeah.
Nice idea.
I've had a conversation with people out there say, well, you're never going to be able to run sewer and water. We're not ever going to have to hook up because you don't know where the boundaries are. But I have a feeling that I'll get... We won't figure out your boundaries, but there'll be water and sewer lines and there'll be easements and... You know,
and that'll give us a start.
Because the power company's got power lines now, and it's amazing how, you know, you can get services with easements. So we figure we can do the same. I mean, isn't going to solve.
It gives us a start. If you make a mark in the sand, by golly, then we know where we can start from. Right now, we're still
standing in a circle, you know, saying, well, no, no.
Maybe. You guys need to have a community group and do consensus and get along.
Half of that community's in California.
Yeah. That's one of the problems. He's got that problem. Sorry, I mean, that's just a problem in South County. We'll,
Yeah, but that's a mayor route. I mean, that's protected.
Can you finance houses down there when you end up with those issues? Does it cause trouble for people buying and selling houses when they don't have, or does it not?
It's how, well, their agent is to do due diligence and find these things out.
Where they don't have good surveys, but that's what I hear from people.
I have a legal description, I'm just not sure where it is. they give me, you know, 1.023 acres is how much.
Give or take a little?
Yeah. When I bought it, it was officially called a pine acre. And, you know, we're still trying to figure out exactly where that is. That's where, if you put that paved highway down there, I could mark off where my property is. That'd be wonderful.
Get a surveyor.
You know, Rick, you'd be the most popular guy on Evergreen.
There's only two people on Evergreen.
You would be the most popular one.
Yeah, but you get a lot of California.
Okay, any other issues, concerns, or public
comments? I think we probably won't meet in February. We'll meet in March. So.
Okay.
We'll let you have February off to go to Hawaii.
No, we have to go to all the meetings. We've got all these open houses and get-togethers.
I wanted to take a look and make a suggestion. We get back to where they you talk about building those houses.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they did in a lot of houses in California, instead of putting a garage door facing the street,
right,
put it sideways. That way the house, the garage itself can still be within 8 or 10 feet of the sidewalk and your large driveway.
You still have a large driveway. Well, except you can't do that with the width. I don't think Scott can't turn his pickup in.
The what?
The width though. See, I know what you're saying. That's so that you don't look like it's all garage.
Right.
If you have a wide, like Ken's got a bigger, if you have a wide property,
yes,
you could swoop out. But,
yeah.
But these are not.
You got to have.
The property we had in California was only 100 feet.
Yeah. Lots are only 53 feet wide.
Oh, geez.
It's hard to get both feet on the property, let alone a 21-foot truck.
Well, and you can't really park your big pickup in the driveway outside because it hangs over the sidewalk.
Right.
Just print up another ordinance that says you have to have a hybrid. It's the only thing you can drive there.
One of those little smart cars.
Right. Remember, we would not approve a subdivision like this today. So.
Yeah. No. Uh-huh.
Mr. Mayor, do you have anything?
I'll just make a couple comments quickly, and I won't say anything about Doug's old comment because if you look under old in the dictionary, you will find his picture. You know, the thing about this, the wells and the low flow and stuff like that, we went on city water specifically because the size of our lot where we had our master wells, they both over years caved in. You know, that's a common problem with, you know, 40, and we're at 45 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old type casings that they used to use, they had these micro, I'll call them strainers for lack of a better word,
right,
in the bottom of the casing,
mm-hmm,
which we know this black sand is micro,
yeah,
and those get filled.
They're plugged up.
So there's two or three ways to do that, and you're right about Palmer Pump being very active in our areas. We didn't have room to re-drill. We didn't have a way. And of course, we're not a residential well system, so we had state rules to deal with. But I would think that some of the problems you'll have is the old casing and the fact that you've got that sand. There's nothing you can do about it. Other than drill down deep, and when you do that, you get a lot of iron.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what plugs up those holes too, yeah, is the iron over a long period of time.
The other comment I'd make is, you know, we have some very intelligent and accomplished people in this area about landscaping, you know, like Linda. There are trees, this climate, it's more than just climate here, it's the soil.
Yes.
So I'm just, we really need to be careful about the trees.
Yes.
Maples do not do well in this area. You'll see a few down by the Lapine Community Health Center. I'm surprised they're alive. I tried planting them, you know, and just, they would die. So there's some things that I, you know, we know that the contractor's gonna come up with a list and Eric has pointed at it. So it'll be important to remember that when you get to looking at that list, you know, you could always ask somebody local.
Right.
Well, the list of the plants came from
Linda.
Linda?
Yeah, they're on her list.
Okay. And that was all I was
responding to.
I wasn't aware of that we've done. The other thing is, you know, we're going to go out of this room today with the information we talked about, or you talked about when the sewer's going to come and water and sewer and everything like that. And people are going, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to say, oh my God, I can't afford that $5,000 or whatever that hookup mm-hmm. fee is. And, you know, it's going to be significant. But there's several kinds of methods that can be used and to pay for it at point of sale, you know, taxed over a year and you pay X amount per year or something like that. I think it's important to make calm the people down that hey, there are ways to make sure that you don't wind up with a $500 to $7,500 bill that you got to pay right then. You know, because if you don't do that, you're going to have all these rumors going on and all these people that I can't afford it and stuff like that. So it probably helps. And this thing in February will be a good chance.
It'll probably be the ugliest meeting. Usually your first one's your worst because it's that shell shock the first time a little bit.
I think as long as you explain everything, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. Some will be just anti-government. Okay. Kind of what you got, you know, going on in Burns and things. So it's they're just people that are, you know, probably those who may squawk the loudest have the most money. You know, a lot of it's just I'm happy with my well and I have no septic problems and I don't want anyone doing anything. The biggest thing will be the partitioning. Then you need to stay, those of you need to stay on top of that because that's going to come before the planning commission, because we do have a couple people that are want the sewer and water so they can then cut their property in half.
Yeah.
Well, Mayor brought up an excellent point at the Band of Brothers meeting last week, and in stating that, you know, we've heard about all the nitrates, he says we don't have a nitrate problem and we don't want to have a nitrate problem.
Right.
So we do it now to prevent that, to keep the future looking brighter for us. And I think, you know, because there has been such a battle, and it's, well, we, you know, we don't have a nitrate problem. Yes, you do. No, we don't. You know, all that arguing and the frustration came to the top. And it's a simple thing that, like you said, we don't have it now, and we don't want it. So let's move forward in protecting what we do have. It's not a matter of trying to correct some. It's protecting what we already have. And that's what's going to make Lapine. You know, I mean, I've got an 80-year-old neighbor next to me when this was only called La. They didn't even have pine in there yet. And he's had free water and free sewer and all this. You know, I go over and talk to him and stir up the coals every once in a while and say, yeah, it could run you about $10,000. You may have put another lien on your house that you paid for three times already. But don't worry about it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it takes the argument out about the nitrate, the so-called nitrate problems that we have. Mm-hmm.
It's important. It's important the way the words are said. You read the bulletin and say they're doing this and that because of their nitrate problem in Lapine.
Yeah, right.
We don't. They're, you know, it's true. Every time you hear that, you need, and the word was said at the Band of Brothers that we've got a nitrate problem. And I corrected it by saying, no, right. We don't. Be sure you understand that we don't. All we're trying to do is protect our water with the kinds of things that we're going to do down here. Right. It's important for us because somebody outside, they want to have a business, they want to build a home, and oh, they've got nitrate, they got bad water.
Right.
You know? And all they read was nitrate problem. You know, there can be a lot of nitrates in your water, and it'd still be wonderful water.
Yeah.
But they get the perception that we've got bad water. They're not going to come here. Yeah. So
the where I'm at, there's they can't test small enough to test for nitrates in my water. And then with the sewer system I got, because I'm part of it, I'm a sewer system by myself out there, and there's nothing coming out the end. There's no nitrates whatsoever. It comes out of the drain field. So they can't say, you know, I'm doing anything. And there's already behind me where the water flows is going to go through a whole bunch of sediment to even get to any place. And it'll be cleaned by then. So they got to stop. You got to protect what we have. It's good. Leave it alone. Don't mess it up.
Right.
I just wanted to make a comment that what Ken said last week really was good.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that. Straightened out a lot of those people. Well, you know, rumors kind of, around this
those
place.
Kind of groups, you know, we may have to go make a presentation when we get into this because those kind of groups are where the knowledge is often spread.
Yeah. Yes.
That's right.
And you know, they come with the knowledge, and then they regurgitate that around.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows what the
that's
what
true.
It is? But
that's the right word.
We'd like to. Yeah, we could come down with a Band of Brothers, and if we survive that.
There's about, there. You know, it's not a small group. Last time we must have had 70 people in there.
Yeah.
And that's, and I mean, they're spread around, and that's a lot of mouths putting out a lot of information.
Right.
Well, it's a tough crowd.
I think you'd be surprised.
Is it?
I think you'll be surprised. I mean, you've got a couple old tough farts on there, you know. But
what are you pointing to?
Anyway, thank you. I'm done.
No, you're right. You got a guys. You got a lot of guys there that have been here for a lot of years,
right?
And they know the area, and they're the ones you will get to. Not rumors, but what?
Do they like presentations once in a while?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's sweet and short. And just hey, this is what we're gonna do. We don't have a problem like you did, Ken. We don't have a problem. We don't want a problem. That's the big thing. And the bulletin doesn't help us.
No. They never have.
No. They don't help us.
Any other staff general comments?
I do have one more comment. Another open house on Thursday, March 3rd from 4:30 to 6:30 here at City Hall. ODOT will be down. We'll be talking about the Wickiup Junction overpass project.
Oh, good.
The US 97 Romaine Village Way to Lava Butte project, which I believe that's adding a median, if I remember correctly. The US 97 Sun River to Highway 31 repaving project, as well as the downtown Lapine streetscape on the west side project. And then also the US 97 Sun River to Forest Boundary project. So, they said they'll be mailing a notice to every 97739 address in the middle of February, so keep an eye out for that. But again, this is scheduled March 3rd, Thursday in the evening from 4:30 to 6:30, and I'll make sure that reminders go out to all of you as well. So.
Well, I'm glad they're median that thing. Is that they've been talking about it? They should.
That's my understanding. Yeah.
So after all these wrecks, they're probably. Mm-hmm. What was it? What was the mile? What are they meeting? What distance to where?
They said US 97 Romaine Village Way.
Right. That's
So well, there's a part of it is done, but there's until you hit the divided highway, there's a few miles in there that
So that they're going to cover basically any 97 projects.
Oh, and then the next phase we'd want is from where the four lane stops into Lapine.
Coming south.
It'd be nice coming this way to get that. That median sure saves lives.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. You know. This year, how many wrecks there's been, and just bad. There was one yesterday, but that drafter head on. It's closed for an hour.
I was in it.
Were you?
Yeah, right. I actually was able to, as I pulled up, the drafter was right there. So I turned in that and went around it, but it was ugly.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had as many things in Lapine to have a siren on it as this book went through town there yesterday. I mean, I don't know where they came from. I mean, it was big. Well, I didn't drive out to see.
It's all that some spam.
They all got you right about that. I was on the wreck here a few months ago between Bendon here, and was came across it right away. But before the Bend Fire got there, there was seven police cars. Well, then the fire truck got there; they couldn't even get up to the wreck because these police cars are everywhere. And boy, they about come sliding in sideways, you know, these cops. And they're the seventh one. I mean, you know, the other one's already been there for 15 minutes and given the updates. You know, it's interesting.
Any committee? Ashley, do you have anything?
No, I'm good.
Scott?
Tonight, we'll be doing that water changeover on the project in front of Gordy. So the water line is in, tested, ready to go, and then they'll do the connections on either end. So the water basically from Gordy's north will be off tonight from 11 until 5 in the morning while they do the connections on either end. So, and then that'll almost finish that project that we had, that you've seen going on out there.
That won't be, that has nothing to do with Gordy getting rid of his water tank.
That does not.
Okay.
You'll be able to hook up to that line from when you do the new well and the new tank out in that area too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they getting rid of the...
If the pipe works, makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, Scott can explain that. Why don't you tell them what eventually we're going to do down there with Gordy's water tank.
Yeah, so they've had plans in that Eric's reviewed and we've taken a look at too. They'll be abandoning that water tank that's at Gordy's one of the roads. I don't know their names. Whitney and Tracy or Wendy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the roads that go in the compound there, they're actually county roads. They're going to be putting water on those. So the five or six lots out there will be able to have water service. Part of that we had in our conditions of approval was a 12-inch line, pardon me, to the far east property boundary. So that new tank and well that we're putting in will have a place to connect it to.
Right.
Good.
Wow.
And that will probably be coming soon, I would guess. They'll be having bids out on that. It's work that that Gordy's property is doing.
See, for their problem was, since all the water went, our meter went into the water tank, mm-hmm. and then the water tank went out, and it was, call it their own system, but what they want us to be able to sell properties, where Gordy owned it all, didn't matter, but now I want to sell a property. Well, who owns the water tank? Who runs the water tank? Who cleans the water tank? And yet you've got water lines, so it's easier to just say, we don't longer need the water tank. Run a line down just like anywhere else, and you'll have a service and a meter, and a service and a meter. You could buy lot X, you could buy the restaurant, you could buy the gas station, because they're all different tax lots.
Mm-hmm.
And so this really allows them, I think it's part of their probably long term of where they're headed as a company, and getting rid of the water tank, and which is doesn't hurt us any, because it was a back, it didn't help us any.
No, it can't come back into our system, so there was no benefit to the city with that there.
And he put that in probably before there was a water district.
Yeah, 10 years or something probably before.
Yeah. So.
Good information.
Yeah.
Any other committee member comments, suggestions, concerns?
The only question I had, you said that people have been talking about dividing Keiko lots up.
Yeah, this comes up as soon as you have the limiting factor right now really is septic systems, because as soon as you have sewer and water, the next question, and I'm being upfront, I want people to know, because that's our planning commission, and then we can do a residential zone down there we could end up saying with all this process that says, you know, those lots stay the same. Now, some of you that, you know, may say, well, that's good, but I might, maybe a half acre is big enough, and I'd like the opportunity to sell off half an acre for $50,000. I'm getting older. It'd be a nice little nest egg in my retirement. It's going to be based on, nope, I don't want any more cars. It'll be an interesting debate, but as soon as there's water and sewer, and you no longer need a drain field, you theoretically could have 5,000 and 10,000 foot lots. You know what I mean? So you need to, that needs to be part of the discussion. I think that's going to come up because we have already had people say, you know, I'd like to buy this, split it in half, put duplexes and, you know, all of this. And we've got Habitat wanting to, of course, they're actually on sewer and water, but they're on schedule there at the end. You know, they want to put 10?
Nine, I believe
nine,
it is.
Nine, where they're supposed to have like four or five. They want to double the density right now in there. So they're coming before the Planning Commission.
They'll be giving a presentation next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
They already have water and sewer.
They already have water and sewer. But see, as soon as you have water and sewer, that's what people want to do. So it's platted for regular size lots, but they want to basically double the density. So those are all the things that come with that. So I think it's...
And we haven't made any decisions on planning.
Well, no, because we don't even know if we can do it as far as, you know, we got to get the prices on the sewer and the water and do all those things and then... figure it out. My guess is those are going to stay larger lots, but do they need to be 2 acres? Could they be 1 acre minimums? You know, that's a value question of the community and those who live there. You know, you're not going to get them down to Huntington Meadows lots by any means, but do you need them to be 2 acres?
I don't know. Some people are dreaming that way.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, that'll be an interesting side discussion, but that's from the planning side, but we'll wait to hear from people. But I'm sure that will come up. Then he's got to have more power lines and everything else, you know. Those power lines probably can handle it.
Oh, they can handle it.
No problem.
No problem.
Okay, are we ready to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn.
Thank you guys.
Very much.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next month.
Not March.
Well, March, but we'll see you
next month.
Yes, cool.